Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Mike Duffy, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Information Systems and Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of the Treasury. Also joining us in our studios from IBM is Jeff Smith. Mike, given the critical role information technology plays in mission and program delivery, could you give us your view on how the role of the CIO has evolved in this regard, and what are the key successful characteristics of a CIO of the future?
As I think back to kind of the advent of the CIO, at least in the federal sector, you kind of go back to 1996 and the initial Clinger-Cohen Act. And that act, I think, got us down a track of, I'm going to call, compliance. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but I think a lot of the CIO responsibilities were very, very focused on making sure that we were doing things right. And certainly that's an important part of the job. That was, I think, melded in with CIOs who were very, very technical in nature. And, some of them were technologists who then got pushed up into this new role called Chief Information Officer. I think over the last 10 years, the role has really morphed substantially to business facilitator. And it's important for us to be well-versed in policies and process and techniques for good management. And we certainly have a role in making sure that we're doing things correctly. But ultimately, the real value of a CIO is the degree to which IT is furthering the accomplishment of the mission of an agency or of a business. So that's really, the big difference. With that said, I think the key characteristics, underlying characteristics now, are the ability to understand the business. And I see this with many of my peers across the government, and I hope with myself. We spend more time just trying to understand what our agencies do and why we do them, and then mixing that in with an understanding of technology. I think that places more of a burden on us, certainly from a time point of view, because as technology gets increasingly complicated, we have to ensure that we're investing enough time to at least be somewhat conversant in it. And even the regulatory environment, I think, has expanded since 1996. But nonetheless, we have to carve out time to actually sit down, read the budget, not just the IT budget, but the mission budget. We need to meet with the mission leaders, the executives, the e-boards, and then even meet with folks outside. At Justice, I actually spent quite a bit of time meeting with law enforcement officials outside the federal government in order to better understand what the federal information sharing requirements were. Ultimately, what that means is that the CIO needs to strive to be more of a business leader and strategist and less of a technologist.
So continuing on sort of our view of the future, can you give us a sense of some of the key issues that will affect CIOs government-wide across the next couple of years? And in your opinion, given Treasury's chairmanship of the Federal User Group, what emerging technologies do you think hold the most promise for improving federal IT?
So in terms of key issues, protecting information, I think, is going to be the number one by far. And this is kind of the confluence of the technical IT security, the policy IT security, and then this emerging area that we call privacy. And in Treasury, the Assistant Secretary for Management is the Chief Privacy Officer, and we have a Deputy Assistant Secretary for Privacy and Records that is the subject matter expert and supports the Assistant Secretary in that regard. My office plays a supporting role as well, and we kind of share that responsibility with the Privacy Office. So the whole information protection area is I think, going to be a dominant area for us. And then the other one, I think, is an issue related to efficiency, particularly in IT infrastructure. I'll reiterate that that's important because of the nature of the federal budget, the fact that our budgets grow at very modest rates, and yet our needs to invest in new technology are growing fairly rapidly. So the math is that you have to free up money out of infrastructure in order to be able to invest in new capability and new technology. So those are going to be, I think, you know, if I had to focus on two issues, those would be the two. So as I look at technologies then that address those issues, federated identity management is huge. The fact of the matter is there's no way for any organization to be able to manage the identities of all of the users with whom they're going to interact. So that's certainly true within Treasury. So in Treasury, we take the view that the actual management of the identity has to be done on a bureau-by-bureau basis. You know, at best, the bureau head is the one who's going to be able to manage, you know, their workforce, including managing the credentialing of that workforce. But now we need to be able to say that the credential in the financial management service can be accepted and utilized by the IRS. And that's where the federated identity management comes into play. So the technologies that facilitate that, technologies such as PKI and the HSPD-12 standards, things like enterprise directories, all those types of foundational technologies are huge. And then some of the new tools that are coming along to help us there. Web-based collaboration technologies, we talked a little bit about that earlier. You know, that's a growth area and one that we in the federal space are going to have to continually invest in. Data management tools are another significant opportunity area for us because of the vast amount of information that we collect. And then the information analysis tools.
So, Mike, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges that the Department of Treasury is going to encounter in the future? And how do you envision your office will evolve over the next 5 years?
The challenges, I think, are fairly apparent. The issues of corporate network security, for all the reasons we've talked about this morning, IT governance, ultimately we have to do a really good job of managing the scarce dollars that that we have, and probably more than the scarce dollars. I mean, the scarce dollars, the talent pool of people that we have, and indeed, if you look at it more broadly, the information that we're asked to manage. Those are two, I think, fundamental areas. And then the third goes back to my mantra, and that is making sure that in everything we're doing in the IT area, we're doing with an eye towards how do we facilitate the accomplishment of the mission. It's very easy on a day-to-day basis to lose sight of that. I myself do, even though I'm out there preaching it, you know, half the time. And I see my staff struggle with this every single day. You know, my IT security staff, who's very focused on making sure that we're getting the best grade possible on the FSMA audit. And that's exactly what I'm asking them to do, but I also want them to take the half step back and say, why is this important? So as my office morphs, what do I see? Well, as we talked about before, we do have a well-seasoned staff, so we are going to see a turnover in the staff over the next 5 years. There's almost no doubt. So we're going to have some significant recruitment and retention issues that we have to deal with. You know, the marketplace is, I think, continuing to be a very competitive place. And it's an interesting challenge because as we try to hire in more talented, more technologically or business-oriented people, that actually raises their stock and makes them more attractive to the private sector. So we're going to be in a constant challenge area in terms of retaining, you know, the good staff that we have. And indeed, I've come to the conclusion that we're probably going to have to reset our expectations in terms of the career length of federal IT workers, whereas before we're very accustomed to the 30-year Fed. And, you know, I myself have 21 years in, so I have at least a reasonable shot of making 30. I don't think that's realistic for the upcoming generation. You know, there's too many opportunities. Indeed, we created a very portable federal retirement system, which makes it all that much easier for people to come in and out of the government. And we're going to need to plan to deal with that. And that's a human capital issue in some regard, but I think it's particularly acute in IT management. And so CIOs have to recognize that. And then probably the continuing use of contract support and making sure that we're doing that very, very well. You know, again, the nature of IT is that we don't have a constant set of work challenges. It goes up, it goes down, and that's much more conducive to employing private sector folks to come in and help us get that job done.
So, Mike, you made a decision early on in your education to start a career in government, and you've obviously been very, very successful. So what advice might you give to a person who perhaps is at that stage where there may be either right coming out of school or perhaps maybe even mid-career around getting started in public service in the federal government?
Well, it's good you mentioned that. One of the things I like to do and try to carve out a little bit of time is actually mentor younger federal employees, particularly people that are in the Presidential Management Fellowship Program, which is the successor to the PMI program that I came in under. I think the primary message is to give public service a try. It's incredibly rewarding. Sometimes you have to go through some frustrations to get to that reward. But if you're willing to work through some of those frustrating times at the end of a year or 2 years or 30 years, you can look back and see where you made significant contributions to the public and to the nation. I think in particular in the IT field, we are becoming actually increasingly competitive. And there's variations within that. I think certain technologies, particularly some of the newer technologies, we probably don't compete quite as well. But in some of the more mainstream network technologies, even IT security, the federal government actually has some ability to offer comparable compensation packages, particularly if you take into account things we can do with loan repayments and recruitment and retention bonuses and leave and all that good stuff. So it's a good opportunity. As somebody enters the workforce, I think my advice would be to focus on what's really important. And this kind of comes back again to my little mantra. You know, why are we here? What are we doing to make the Treasury a better place, the Treasury a more effective government agency? And ultimately, how are we benefiting the taxpayers? If you can get your mind around that and focused on that, then government is definitely a great place to work.
That's a great perspective. Thank you. Mike, unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Jeff and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country across your roles at Justice and now at Treasury.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. I enjoyed it. You know, what I would say is anybody who's interested in learning more about the Department of the Treasury or specifically the Chief Information Officer's office, probably the best place to get that info would be via our website, which is treasury.gov. So I would invite the listening public to take a look there.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Mike Duffy, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Information Systems and Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of the Treasury. My co-host has been Jeff Smith, partner in IBM's Federal Civilian Practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.